You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Now, I wanted to start this message with a fairly light-hearted approach. So if you've got the sound turned up at the back, we'll watch this video. And for those that are viewing online, I'll put a link in on the description. So let's have a look at this.
Hey, you guys, guess what, though?
Jack,
wait, close the door.
Sam.
Where are we, guys? Where are we?
St. George.
Was it a long trip?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I have some good news and bad news. You want me to tell you the bad news first? Then I'll tell you the good news, and maybe the bad news won't feel so bad anymore, right?
Well, what's the bad news?
Okay, guess what, guys? I know we were in the car a really long time, but we're not done with our trip. We have to keep driving.
Why?
I'm sorry. We have a lot of hours to go, actually. We're not even halfway done with our drive yet.
Why?
That's the bad news.
That's the bad news.
What's good news?
Well, the reason why we have more to drive to is because we're not really going to St. George. We kind of tricked you.
We're tricking you guys.
We're really going to California. Guess what we're going to do in California? Guess what we're going to do in California?
Show them.
Sam, can you read
this? Sam, can you read this? Read it.
What does it say, Sam? Say it loud.
Dude, we're Wait, going to
what?
Disneyland.
What?
You don't want to go?
Do you want to go to Disneyland? Kelly backfired.
We're actually going to Disneyland for 3 days.
Who wants to go to Disneyland in California?
We're going to California.
California.
Is that awesome?
Do you want to stay here in, at St. George, or do you want to go to Disneyland?
I want to go to
Do you want to go swimming at St. George? How about swimming at Disneyland? And
Sam.
Going to Disneyland.
Whoops, sorry.
Are we going to stay here at St. George?
No.
No. We're just tricking you. This is all a trick. This whole time we've been planning.
We're going for 3 days instead of six.
Well, no. It's the same amount of time, but the whole time, most of the time, we're going to go to California. We have a hotel there. We're going
to
stay. We're going
to
go
to.
We're going to go to California for another.
We're going to stop and get food. We're going to have a fun drive. We're going to go to California. And we're going to where? Remember yesterday you said you got that magazine? You said you wish you could
What do you think,
Disneyland?
Sam? Okay. All right.
Totally backfired.
You see, Mum and Dad, in that situation, had a completely huge surprise for their kids. Things like that trip don't just happen, do they? I don't know if there's any of us here that the accommodation needs sorting, tickets need paying for. The chances are they've probably been saving up for that moment, haven't they? Has anybody here done that? Been saving for that trip of a lifetime with the kids? And then that moment that you've been building up to, the surprise is, and as you saw in that clip, it just went badly wrong, spectacularly wrong. And actually, the more they try and reinforce it, the stronger and stronger bad reaction. I mean, I'm not laughing at them kids. My heart goes out to them. They thought they were going swimming. They thought they'd arrived. And actually, they're going to Disneyland. It's going to be so much better, but it's just a bit further, just a bit further on. And are we nearly there yet? Absolutely. Surprise. And as far as the surprise is concerned, it just goes wrong. Now, obviously, I'm going to draw a parallel out of that, aren't I? Because are we a bit like that sometimes? And I just wonder, you see, God has the most amazing plan for us, does he not? That destination that is beyond our wildest dreams. He's done all the planning. The price is paid. And with him, the journey could be absolutely amazing. Like those kids, those blessings along the way. Oh, it's going to be great. There's going to be food. We've got this amazing. It's just going to be awesome. And they say, I don't want to go. But you said you really wanted to go a few days ago. Disneyland, that was amazing, wasn't it? Oh, I don't want to go. I thought we'd arrived. If you were here last week, yeah, I think it was quite an extraordinary Sunday. I don't know if you would agree with me on that, but I really felt God wants to release an extra dimension here at Limbrick Woods. He wants that experience of his love for us to go deeper with him. Go deeper with God, to trust him more and to trust one another a bit more. If you're not yet a Christian, it might have seemed quite an odd time last week, but I pray you actually saw something special going on here. You saw God's power at work. And that's pretty much what it was saying in the message, wasn't it? You see, his love in this place for his people, I hope that's left you wanting that little bit more. If you can remember, for those that weren't here, I actually had a ladder that was set up here. And on the rungs of the ladder, I put all different things that might actually be that barrier between us and God. But I don't want us to have a list of do's and don'ts. The Bible isn't necessarily a list of do's and don'ts. Some people say, you know, it's just a set of rules, isn't it? I have to give this up. I have to give that up. But the Bible speaks of so much more than a set of rules. There is a beautiful relationship in there. And it's not a hypothetical relationship. It's not one of these, if you follow this, life is going to be good. This was a relationship that was demonstrated by Jesus. He did this. He set us such a beautiful example of this life of love. And for those that enter into that relationship, we find we're so perfectly loved. And the thing is, I think when you catch that, when you understand what that love is for you, it starts you to examine yourself. And as soon as you examine yourself, you start saying, am I honoring this relationship with God in the right way? Do I need to reassess my actions? Now, for a number of you here, I'm sure you know this scenario. You've met the love of your life. You might still be waiting for that, so you can get some tips in a minute. You meet the love of your life, and you start swapping stories. And they say the things they like and the things they don't like. And then they say, but there's one thing, just one thing I cannot stand. And you know that's something you either love to do or you wish you didn't do. That one thing. So what do you do about it? Do you keep on doing it in secret? Do you deal with it? Give it up? Change it for the sake of a new relationship that is now so precious to you? Because I think that's really important to our relationship with God. If you just see God as somebody saying, set of rules, get this right, pass the entrance exam, in you come, that's not really a relationship, is it? We said it before, if you treated a marriage like that, you'd get a sock in the eye, wouldn't you? You know, that's not relationship. This is relationship. So what do we do? Were you in that situation where someone said, this is one thing? Do you hide it? Do you give it up? Do you keep doing it in secret? Or do you change it for the sake of that new relationship? Do you say, this relationship is so precious, even though I love doing that, I will do whatever you want. I love sailing. I love being by the coast. I love God. And he told me to come to Coventry. You know? God, I'm sorry. I love the beach and I love sailing so much more. You know, it could be something like that, even something even smaller. Let's look at what it says in Ephesians 5. If you've got your Bibles, we'll be in 5 and verse 1 to 2. It says this, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, there is no greater love than this. And a result of this love, we are actually offered so much more in that relationship, aren't we? If you want to flick back to John 15, there's that lovely, beautiful verse about that greater love. John 15, 12 to 17, if you want to flick back. John 15, 12 to 17 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now get this. He says, you are my friends. This is Jesus talking. You, You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learnt from my father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. This word fruit is going to come up a lot, and it's just jumped out at me even more this morning. Bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, he says. Love one another. This is my command. Love one another. Now, last week, the challenge God gave to all of us was built around confession and around forgiveness. And for those that came to the front, for those that came for prayer, for those that gathered afterwards, we said that God wants to smash those footholds. He wants to get rid of those footholds in our life. Remember, we said, do not give the devil a foothold. Look back up the chapter. He wants to bring all of that stuff into the light. It's exactly what we've been reading here. And get rid of it. Get rid of it. And for those that sought healing in their life from those things that have been done to them, those that wanted those things set apart from what they may have done for many, many years, those that wanted to be set free, I believe are doing this out of a spirit-led desire to follow God. In and of myself, I'm not that brave. But when the Spirit comes and the Spirit gently says, come on, we've been doing this for too long, and it's separating you from that wonderful, wonderful relationship, let's nail it to the cross. And I said this right at the beginning of church when I was looking at the role here. I said, please don't follow me. I will let you down. I will let you down. Do not put anybody else on that throne in your life, any person here. The way of the world's example is not the way either. We are called to follow God's example and live that life of love. And now this is not easy to do, is it? Because we have some pretty interesting wiring in our brains, haven't we? God, no, me. Oh, you looked. Someone at the back looked. We've got some interesting wiring, aren't we? Remember that unwitting victim in that experiment this morning? Conformed to the craziness of standing when that tone went off. But you saw quite quickly afterwards, then everybody else carried on and followed, didn't they? Even that grumpy dude at the end, so I'm not doing this. Absolutely no way. Then you see his little like, okay, I'll half do it. That, you've committed now. Now you've half done it. You've got to be the full standing, like, okay, along with everybody else. So why give that example this morning? And God just feeds this stuff in lovely, I think, throughout the week. Well, I'm sure you can see where it's actually going to be going this morning. Let's pick up our next bit of the passage, Ephesians 5, 3 to 7. And it says this, but among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Verse 4, it says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such thing God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. It says there in verse 7, clear as day, therefore do not be partners with them. We need to live a different life. A different life. And if you want to go back to that, Romans 12, 2, sometimes there's key verses, aren't there, that jump out at you. Romans 12, 2 spells it out for us. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I just want us to catch that this morning, because we're not talking about you're going to find out what God's will is And boy, your life's going to be boring. You've got to give this up and you've got to give that up. And oh, do you know what? Being a Christian, it's so boring. You know what I mean? You should sit there, all wear the same color gray. And, you know, oh, you know, watch them walking around, the same anoraks. And then, oh, you know, you spot a Christian a mile off. No, this should be exciting. This is God's good, pleasing and perfect will. Do you want to enter into that this morning? Because I do. I want to know a God like that. Those opening chapters in Ephesians taught us what we should believe, didn't they? And here we are in chapters 4 to 6, now living this out. It speaks about where we've come from, and we were looking at that last week, and now where we're heading. If we're following Christ, this is good. We're heading to a good place. Think back to the kid in the car. You're going to heaven. I go. But it's great. You wanted to go there yesterday. It's too hard now, the journey. Do you know, we're genuinely like that, aren't we? And that little thing can come along and knock us off our perch. And that's the challenge this morning. I think God says, come on, this is good. Let's get your feet on that rock. Pick up your Bibles again. Ephesians 5, coming in at verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit, again, this is fruit of light, consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Remember that. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated by the light, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I mentioned it already last week. I think something special happened here at Limbrick Wood. I'm pretty sure something shifted in the heavenlies above this place. Something special happened amongst you as people here. And I pray for you. I know I spoke to a number of you throughout the week, but God has been continuing to speak to you. That wasn't just a fun 5 minutes here or a difficult 5 minutes or a challenging 5 minutes, but throughout the week, God has been speaking to you. And maybe you've been just asking him, Lord, what are those things, those issues that I've been battling with 4 years, those things that have trapped me, trapped my mind and made me ineffective for you and without living this life of love? What are those things? Have you been wrestling with it this week? Has God been doing that? Has he gently been releasing thoughts to you, ideas in your mind about where his healing needs to come? If you can remember back, I shared part of my personal journey, which opened up the idea of some generational issues that could be affecting me. And my challenge to you was, could there be anything like that affecting you? I don't know if that got your attention last week, but did that idea of some of those things that seem to keep coming into our family's lives, whether it's poverty, and you look and you go, well, why has our family always been in poverty? Why is most of my family, including some of those, why am I prone to addictions? We've already spoken about it here. Sexual immorality, greed, other things mentioned in this chapter. Maybe there are other things that are weighing us down. And that beautiful phrase said this, we need to bathe in the gaze of God. Just catch that for a minute. Bathe in the gaze of God. You know when you're in the shadows and the sun comes out and that warmth comes across you and you're just like, oh, isn't the sun lovely this morning? When you walk around the corner, it just beats on your face. You go, oh, bathe in the gaze of God. You see, we're not, as we said last week, going to a God that when you walk around the corner and you see him, it's like, oh, I'm going to get a clip around the ear for this one. That's not the God that we come to. He comes in with arms open. He says, you were once lost, and now you're found. You've returned to the Father. The gaze of God. If you're struggling, maybe just take that phrase back and say, do you know what? When I'm in that situation, I want the gaze of God to be upon me in that place. We need his Holy Spirit to help us have our wits about us. I wonder, is God speaking to you again this morning? is he gently bringing that feeling about, that thing inside you that maybe you got halfway there last week. And he says, I want to heal. I want to heal that in you. But you've got to give it to him. We've got a choice this morning, haven't we? It says there's two ways to live. You're either going to be for him or you're going to be against him. And Ephesians is clear in its warnings to us. Have a look at verse 15 here. It says, Ephesians 5, 15 to 16. Be very careful then how you live. Be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And like last week, we could put that ladder up again, couldn't we? With a whole list of things that gives the devil a foothold in our lives. But I believe this week God wants to draw us one step further. Not to simply respond to those things that are put in front of us, but to understand what God's will is and then to walk in it. Okay? So this starts to bring it back really personal. It's great to prompt one another, and we did that with the ladder. Ephesians 5, 17 to 18 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so it's picking on the alcoholics this morning, isn't it? No, it's not. It's not picking you out specially here. Paul is drawing some parallels, I think, to emphasize this point. Remember on the day of Pentecost? What time was it? 9 a.m. Cool, they've had a few already, haven't they, this lot? It's only 9 a.m. They're walking around as if they're drunk. I think Paul is saying more than not getting drunk and being under the influence of alcohol, which leads to all sorts of problems. We just read that. But rather, be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the one who gives us power and works in and through us. But remember what we said last week. We have to want this. We need to move to that place of trust so that he can work. Touching the cloth. Remember the woman in the crowd. Reached out. She wanted it. I've been reading through Mark's gospel. And so many times in there, what strikes me is the people wanted it. They had the faith to believe. This might be for the Jews, but it's for the Gentiles too. Let me have this. I've got the faith to believe that that's even for me. Philippians 2, 12 to 13 says this. You don't need to look it up. I put it on the screen. Do everything without grumbling. It says, therefore, my friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So look, let's be honest. If your issue is with alcohol, don't turn to it. If it's with another addiction, don't turn to it. If it's a place where you sin, don't go there. Yeah, don't go down the road. If it's something that may be generational, and I'm throwing this out there, then we can confess it. We can confess it and sever it and say, no, no more. I'm standing in that gap. I'm standing and I'm confessing this, and Jesus Christ has paid the price, and it's not going to go any further than here. So I'm going to wrap it up with this. God wants us to live a spirit-filled life. So we're not wandering around like easy influence little children, yeah? Oh, you're all too good. We've got to grow up, haven't we? We've got to grow up and become mature, filled with the Spirit. And I'm not talking about some whiz-bang experience here. Oh, do you remember that time when that happened and everything? No, I'm talking about that one whose life is consistently yielding to the Spirit, walking hand in hand. And where that thing fruits, I don't know if you've noticed it, but fruit seems to be coming out a lot this morning, the fruits of the Spirit. We went through those on a Wednesday evening not long ago. Are we living them out? How would you characterize your life against Galatians 5, these fruits? You can look it up if you want. It's in Galatians 5 at the end there. Have a listen to this for a minute, because they're clear instructions from Scripture. I'm not making this stuff up. It says, so I say, from verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That spells it out for us very clearly in verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. It could go on. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But you can see them on the screen there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no such law. So my challenge to us this morning is about being Spirit-filled, being under His influence, the influence of the Spirit. And this is quite a simple thing to do. Acknowledge that you are empty and that you need Him. This isn't complicated. Confess your sins, which is where we were last week. Those things you've done, those things that are done to you, that have left you broken. The ones that really need hurt, that really hurt and need His complete fulfilling in order to help us to forgive. Because sometimes these things can come and we just go, I'm carrying all of this stuff and I need your Spirit within me to help me to forgive. Yield your life to God. Walk by faith. Remember we said not feelings, by faith. Read and dwell in God's Word. Now if you haven't got a Bible, I'm quite happy for you to take one home today. If you haven't got a Bible at home, I give you permission to take one. Take it home. Take it home and read Mark's Gospel. It takes an hour. I know that. I'm reading it a number of times a week at the moment, and I'm not the fastest reader in the world. So it takes on average 40 minutes. It takes me an hour. Go back and read it. What is God saying to us? Dwell in His Word, continue growing, and be thankful to God. And what does it say right at the end of Ephesians here? Ephesians 5, 19 to 20. It says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to just close with a couple of questions this morning. And these aren't pointing fingers at anybody, but let's just open a door to what happened last week and what God might want to do this week. Here's a question. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And if you don't know what that means, come and ask me afterwards. If you say, well, yes, I'm definitely filled with the Holy Spirit, here's another good question. Would those closest to you agree with your answer? It's a challenge, isn't it? Okay, how about this then? If the Holy Spirit pulled out of your life for a week, would you miss Him? Or would life go on pretty much as normal? What a challenge. What a challenge. I put up a visual on social media this week, and I'll pop it up on the screen for you now. It says, we're called to be world changers, not world chasers. World changers are not world chasers. You see, if I do this, and that's what the world does, and you're quite happy to sit there and go, nah, it's not God's good and pleasing, perfect will. You know, whatever that looks like, just think for a moment. Let's have that dimension, extra dimension. God has called us to live a supernatural life. They put supernatural on lots of things nowadays, but a supernatural life, a daily dependence on His Holy Spirit, who will bring us into that closer relationship with God. I believe we will then no longer be under the influence of this world, but we will influence this world. We will be able to challenge this world. You'll be able to go into your workplaces, homes, schools, wherever it is, and you will live out something different. And when you live that out, let's change that environment around us. If you don't believe me, the young lady that was left on her own in that room and all new people came in followed what she did. Followed what she did. They knew no different. And she'd only been shown, how many minutes before? A few minutes before? She was a natural evangelist, wasn't she? Ding, here we go. Yeah, instantly. We can have that impact because the Holy Spirit is at work within us. The question is, do you want to live like that? Do you want to live like that? And I've been challenged, someone's been challenging me with this recently. Don't leave a question like that up on the screen. Do you want to live like that now? Do you want to live like that now? And this is where we're at. So I could put a ladder up and I can put all sorts of new words up there and make you feel all guilty and you can go, oh yeah, that's definitely me, that one. I'm going to come and pray about that. Do you know what? It's good to do that, but ask God. Bathe in that gaze of God and let him say, Darren, you and I know this thing is a barrier. Let's deal with it. And however that comes along, because God wants to take you from a place where there's those blockages into a place where he has that full and perfect relationship with us. And then we do good works. We go out and be world changers. And God wants little Limbrick Wood, I think, to be a world changer on this estate. And he can use you and me because we're here. Wow. Who wants that? Who wants that now?
You are listening to an online message from Limbrick Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrick Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.